So this morning, I just was laid on my heart, give you a message on forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness, if you think about it, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's a big deal, isn't it? How do we forgive people? How do we forgive people that maybe they don't know or don't care that they offended you or hurt you in some way? How do you forgive people who, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven? Okay? From a human standpoint, they don't. But I want to show us this morning from Scripture how Jesus felt about forgiveness. So bear with me. You know, we'll see how this works this morning here. So forgiveness. Here's a simple definition before I get to the Scripture. Number one, let me just say I'm not going to be up here as a pastor just blowing smoke. Okay, this is easy. This is simple. It's not easy. It's not simple. But it's necessary. Here's one definition I found. Definition number one I found is to forgive is to treat someone as though the offense was not committed. Anybody think that's hard to do? You can raise your hands, I promise. I won't call on you. Okay, that's hard. That's tough. You'll see from the story that, Definition, another one. God gives us grace, and that's the key. God gives us grace to do it. To declare that we will not harbor malice or teach someone unkindly or treat someone unkindly, but that the matter will be buried and forgotten. It's another hard one, isn't it? What's the hard part? Forgetting, right? Every time you see that person, you see that person's name, it's pretty tough. But you're going to see from the story that we're not given many options. So to forgive is to forget. I used to have a friend in Bourbon when I was here before. And she and I used to mow the lawn, one of the ladies from the church, and she just lived next door. And her and her husband and I became very good friends. And she says, well, if I can't forget, then I must not have forgiven because I can't forget it. Or she would say, well, I'm going to forget it, so I must have forgiven him. And I says, no, I don't think it works that way. Forgiving somebody is an act of the will to start with, okay? And you'll see more in a moment what we speak of. My answer to people, because I'm asked this often, is if I forgive people, how do I forgive them? How do I not forgive them, but how do I forget about it? Well, I put it this way. Forgetting is difficult. And you'll see in a little bit what happens when you don't forgive and forget. That finishes the whole thing. Is the fact that it begins to control you. Okay? I had a friend many, many, many years ago. In fact, he was one of my mentors in ministry. And he did a couple things that were, well, as other people told me, were just wrong. And it was very offensive and it was very hurtful because it was a mentor. It was someone I trusted. And after it was all said and done and the dust settled, I realized that I had not really forgiven him. And it wasn't because I hadn't forgotten. It was because the fact that I didn't forgive him and I had not forgotten just ate in my insides. It controlled me. Anytime I saw him, saw his name, saw somebody that knew him, it just enraged me on the inside. That's being controlled by something that's not pleasing to God, not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. It's not what we're supposed to be doing. We are to be a light in a dark world. We have to be careful that we don't harbor bitterness. Hang in there with me. You see, bitterness is what is, in my opinion, is destroying families, churches, people themselves. And it happens if we don't learn first that we have to forgive. You're going to see there's no choice. And secondly, we got to learn to not allow it to control us. Is that hard? Is that difficult? Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And we got to learn to get over that. Matthew 18:21, if you have your Bibles with you, Let me go to the scripture. Now I've got your mind going. 18:21. This is a story that Christ told to illustrate a biblical principle. Okay? Remember, Christ, when he had his disciples and they would travel places, he is teaching them things they'd never heard before. He's teaching them things they'd never seen in action before. He was their teacher. Just the same as the Apostle Paul was a teacher to the churches that he founded on his three missionary journeys. This was all new, because what they had before was Jewish tradition, Jewish languages, and it was a whole different thing. We have God's Word now. They didn't have back then. And so what you're seeing here is that he tells a story, and let me explain to you. Verse 21 of chapter 18 says, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" Up to seven times? Okay, that was part of their culture and it was taught that way. "Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" Now think about that. Number one, how would you keep track? 70 times 7, I think that still comes out to 490 times. Is that practical? Does it make any sense? Is it going to get you anywhere? I don't think so. And that was the point of the illustration. There were some practices within the Jewish faith that were so legalistic and so not worth a whole lot, okay? But time changed, and Jesus is teaching them, you will forgive people. The point is don't keep track of wrongs that have been done to you. You ever thought about that? Do you keep track of when things happened that, like, my mentor friend did to me? Now, I learned early on, after a while of struggling with it, that you don't keep track of it. Verse 23, we go into the story. You know the story, I'm sure. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves." Okay? "When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." 10,000 talents. Now, I've researched this on two or three or four different sources. Christ taught things and he was to the extreme. Do you know how much 10,000 talents is? That's $10 million. Who knew what $10 million was back then? But the point of it is that this was an overwhelming amount of money. He just didn't want it to be some trivial thing. Christ didn't, for them to understand it. He wanted them to understand the seriousness of this. So when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. All right? "But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.'" Whoa, okay. "And the Lord of the slave felt compassion. He had pity on him and released him and forgave the debt." Wow. Verse 28 says, "But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which is 3 months' wages, and he seized him. And he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.'" Now, he owes $10 million. This guy owes just 3 months' wages, and he's out there choking him, and he's, you know the story now? Bring it to your mind what's going on here. Jesus is using extremes to get a point across. And I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but you're going to see that at the end, the other slaves ratted the guy out, okay, and said that he had threatened this guy who owed him money, and on from there, and there was trouble, and there was problems. And so the master, who had forgiven him once, took him and treated him the way that the law allowed. Pretty sad, isn't it? You start to see the importance of forgiveness yet? Look at, Brian was kind enough to put this on the screen for us today. Here's what forgiveness is about. Okay? This is what forgiveness is about. If you need to forgive somebody, you need to have a humble heart. Okay? You need to have a humble heart, and you need to have a repentant heart. What am I talking about? If you have trouble forgiving people, maybe the problem is with your heart. It's a heart condition. How humble are you? Because, folks, here's reality. Why is it that we have to forgive? It's because who forgave us? God. The death of Christ on the cross was for what reason? To produce for us salvation. To produce for us forgiveness. And so if we have a heart that is prideful, if we have a heart that thinks people owe us, how dare you say that about me? How dare you do that to me? We need to have a humble heart. I once heard an old pastor friend of mine, well, he was my pastor many, many years ago, and he says, your attitude towards forgiveness that Christ brings to you is going to reflect in the everyday of your life. If you have a hard time forgiving people, maybe the issue is that you don't understand truly what Christ did for you on the cross. Do you really understand? Do you let it get into your mind and into your heart that what Christ has done? He provided forgiveness because we all sinned. We all fell short of the glory of God. He has done that for us. Do we live like we appreciate it? Convicting, isn't it? So if you want to forgive people, it needs to start in your own heart. If you have too much pride, if you have too much pride in your life about yourself, it's only going to bring you more problems. We all know people that can be very proud and very arrogant, don't we? When we go to Florida in the winter, there's people that I run into there from all over the place. And it's fun meeting and seeing new people, being in a different environment. Some of the people I come across are very prideful. Now, you say, you're being judgmental. No, that's not being judgmental. It's observing the truth, folks. It's observing what people, because what that happens is I don't look at them and say, well, boy, I'm glad I'm not like that. No, I look at those people that are so prideful and so arrogant. I look at them and say, by the grace of God, there goes I. It's humbling when you think about it and when you do it. A prideful heart is only going to bring you more problems. The heart of a humble servant. I wrote down a note in here many years ago when I was in Youth for Christ in Fort Wayne. That's to say many years ago. And one of the men on staff and his wife were killed in a car accident. And of course, we were friends. There was five or six of us on staff at Fort Wayne Youth for Christ. And Jim and his wife were killed in a head-on collision. And Jim was probably, I'm guessing, 28. And I remember that the funeral was in Parma, Ohio, which is Cleveland. And the district rep from YFC, a very, very wonderful man, he wanted to ride with us to the funeral because we were basically in a state of shock. You can imagine. So we get in the car. We go to get in the car. And do you remember station wagons? You remember what those things looked like? They were ugly, but they served a purpose. Now it's a van, right? Well, remember the station wagons where the back door, you could pull it down or you could pull it out this way? You remember? Anybody remember those? Okay, all the young folks are going, huh? All right. But I remember this station wagon because you pulled the door open and you sat facing the back. You got to see where you've been, all right? But to get in that was not easy. You had to step over the bumper, and then it was a little well like that for your legs, your feet, and then you sat down. Well, this man's name was Ted Bryson. Ted was 6'4". And I went to get in the back, and a couple of the other guys, we were fighting for the back, because we didn't want him to have to ride in the back, because it's just, he was a man of stature to us. We respected him greatly. He crawled in the back. He goes, nope, you guys need to be together up there. And I've not forgotten that story in a long time, okay? Probably 50 years. He was a humble servant, and that made such an impact not only on me, but the other guys the rest of us that were there that were on staff. He was a humble servant. We need to have a truly repentant heart. What is repentance? Repentance is a turning away. Repentance is a 180. It's when you come to a place in your life where you realize a wrong has been done, there's sin in your life or whatever, and you ask God for forgiveness. Now, there's no debate about it. God says, fine, I'll forgive you. He knows your heart. And the 180 is that if you're going this way, you turn this way and you walk into the light that God has for you and you learn from the experience. It's repenting. Do you have a repentant heart? If you struggle forgiving people, maybe the issue is you don't have the repentant heart that God wants you to have, that He wants me to have. Are we willing to say, Lord, I blew that. Lord, I messed that up. I was wrong. I sinned. I need your forgiveness. But then it's easy to get the forgiveness. You know, when your children were growing up, remember? And they do something and you had to discipline them for it. Do you remember those days? When they were young and innocent and they would say, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And you know the thought goes in your mind, right, Mom and Dad? They're just little kids. I'm glad they're sorry. I'm glad they wanted to be forgiven. But little kids are going to probably turn around and do it again. At least mine did, okay? Because my kids were not perfect. All right? But you see, this repentant heart is how we're able to forgive people. And that's what we see. When I was finishing up the notes on this message, I'm going off track just a little. I always believe that God confirms His will, okay? He confirms, and when He leads you to do something, He's going to confirm it. I always wish He'd write it on the wall. Wouldn't it be easier just to read it? This is the right thing to do, or no, don't do that. He confirms it in some way. Last night, I was reading my favorite thing, Facebook. Because you know Facebook is always right, right? You got that? I was reading Facebook, and there was a story on there about a lady who was a survivor of the Holocaust. And it was her 89th birthday. And I went, And I read the headline, and then I read the article. This lady was known for preaching and teaching and practicing forgiveness. So I knew this morning this is what you needed to hear. We need to just have an open talk about forgiveness. And I'm not saying you don't. But I'm saying, my point is, that if we struggle with forgiveness, well, you don't know what people have done to me. You're right, I don't, but God does. Okay? God does. I got some more scripture. Before I get to that one. Okay, let me finish repentance. So if you're going to forgive people, the only way you can do it is if you understand that you've been forgiven. Okay? Christ forgave us. Paul understands forgiveness. He had people that beat him and everything else, remember? And he learned he had to forgive them. And we know that God forgives us every day. What we're speaking about here, folks, is a Christian principle, forgiveness. Here's the thing of it is, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of what the world teaches and practices. In biblical times, you had Pharisees, Sadducees, the priests, whatever. They were very, very egomaniac people, okay? I need a new word up. But they had big egos. They had big egos. And they could not seek forgiveness of people. That was a lot of their problem. That's why they didn't like Jesus. Because He came along, and what did He do? He taught people we got to forgive. Now, let's go on. What blessings forgiveness brings? And this is where I'm going to wrap, you'll see. What blessings does forgiveness bring to us? It just amazes me as I've grown in my Christian faith and grown up. I'm just amazed at all the things, all the blessings that God gives us at so many different times in our lives. Think about that. Some blessings that you have. The first one I came up with, and I couldn't come up with a better term, is the psychological blessings. Way back in the day, I can remember when psychology was looked down on, okay? Psychology was some hocus-pocus stuff, and it just went from there. Psychological blessings, psychology is the study of our behavior. It's the study of the mind and how we function and what we do, okay? Psychological blessing, what do I mean? When you forgive somebody, it brings healing to your mind, okay? It brings healing to your emotions. Have you ever seen somebody who's just angry all the time? Not much fun to be around, are they? They're angry. They can't keep control of things. We will become bitter. We will become angrier. We'll become miserable people to be around. We just can't shake that feeling that someone offended us. We can't, what do we say? Get over it. I saw when I was in Florida last winter, a guy had a t-shirt on, and it just said, "Get over it." And I looked around at people reading that shirt, and a lot of people smiled. That's true. A lot of things in life, if we just learned to get over them, we'd be a lot happier, wouldn't we? So anyways, you can't shake it. You can't shake the feelings. It's why you can't forget. What we're saying is that when you learn to forgive people, what God is doing, He is healing you emotionally. Emotionally. Some of us, you know, I have found living in the Midwest that people in the Midwest don't get as angry as where I came from. I came from Western New York. Don't hold this against me. I'm a Yankee fan, sorry. Don't hold this against me. But I'm Italian. My dad changed our name on a long time ago for prejudice reasons. But all of my relatives, all of my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, we're all Italian. All four of our grandparents came from Italy, came from Sicily, came over on the boat, as we would say. People in Western, and back in the East, if you've been around them, you know this, they have a tendency to be crabby, to be angry, to not be very nice. In fact, I was watching I watched Baseball Network all the time, and they interviewed some people from Boston, from New York, and their accent is very distinguished, right? But the tone of their voice was even more distinguishable to me because I've been away from it for a long, long time. This is what we have to, they're not much fun to be around. Now, my relatives were until they got in an argument with each other. I had an uncle, he was my favorite uncle, because he carried a gun. He was the undersheriff of the county around Buffalo. And I said, can I touch your gun? He'd go, no. Why not? And this is when he'd say, you don't play with guns. I'm okay, you know. But he was my favorite uncle because he could be very funny and he loved us kids. And so anyways, it's the emotional healing of this whole deal. I think that is something that I read various places talking about the problem in our country with people who struggle with anger. It's a serious, serious issue. And probably if we could sit down and study these folks, we'd probably find out that they're angry, they're bitter, they're upset with something that happened in their life. Here's another blessing that I find is this one, the physical blessings. I read this and read it over and over again, but I wanted to make sure I was not imagining. Chronic anger damages the physical body. Did you know that? I had a doctor in our church back in Fort Wayne many years ago, and he told me that probably 80 to 85% of diseases come from depression, come from stress, come from anger. And you know, I heard that and I went, well, you're the doctor. Don't ask me about it. You're the doctor. And over the years, I've done a lot of paying attention to people, listening to people talk, reading articles in newspapers and whatever. Of course, right now we know in 2019, this is probably the angriest our country has been at each other, don't you think? It's pretty sad. My concern is my grandchildren. My boys are, they're adults. They're going to deal with it. But how about the grandchildren? How about your kids? How do you feel about that? They don't like each other. People just, they're mean. Well, here's the thing about it is, chronic anger comes from unforgiveness, okay, Ken? It does. Is more damaging than smoking or obesity. Think about that. See, what takes place in our mind, it affects us physically. I'm a diabetic. And I found out over time, not paying attention, I found out over time that when I get down or get discouraged or get angry, I'm still an Italian at heart, okay? So we get angry. And get angry is as hard on my diabetes as not following the foods I should and shouldn't eat. I never believed that before until I've experienced it, and trust me, the last 2 years, things have changed for me. The death rate, now get this, the death rate is 3 to 6 times higher for a person with anger issues. That's why you have to forgive people. Sometimes I just have to simply say, Lord, I don't want to, I don't like what happened, I don't like being offended, but I'm going to forgive this person, and you're going to have to help me work through the forgiveness process. Because sometimes it's a process. So I don't want to talk about me. I'm talking about people I've counseled with over the years. You know, I had a man. He was in the hospital. Wasn't doing well. And we had a lot of discussion. I'd go see him 2 or 3 times, you know. He said to me, Pastor, he says, don't ever let anger get its way with you. He said, a lot of the reason I'm here at my age is because I didn't learn to control it. You see, God knows what's good for us, folks. And forgiving somebody is good for us. Now, let me keep going. How about relational blessings? Relational blessings. Wow. It damages other relationships that you have. What else do I need to say? If you've experienced this from another person, you know. I can remember in school having teachers that would get angry and seem like they never got over it. They were always on our case about something. It was unmerciful sometimes. I know that I worked with people, the boss and other people, different jobs I've had in the past before I went back to school. Relationships. It affected them. We're supposed to return good for evil. And I know you're thinking, but you don't understand what's happened. You don't know what I've been going through. You don't understand what that person is like. Well, you know what? I understand what Jesus is like. I understand that he forgave me, so who am I not to forgive this person? I also found out that he will give us the strength and the ability to forgive and move on with your life. Hatred writes people off. Love gives hope. Love gives hope. Love makes it possible for reconciliation. We've all seen it. Maybe you've experienced it. But I've seen couples go through divorce. And really, if there was a time and a place, they would sit down and calmly talk through things, there'd be less divorces. Look what that does for the children. How about spiritual blessings? Ah, there we are. God's blessings bring more grace because it's grace that gives us the ability to forgive. Okay? It brings peace. It brings mercy. It brings love. It brings strength. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? So not only does God tell us, explain to us, as Jesus was doing, we have to forgive. But when we do, we get blessed for it. God is the best being there is. He's the best being to deal with when it comes to bringing change to your life. Because he understands this. He gives us his grace which saves us. It's his grace that keeps us. It's his grace that makes it possible for us to forgive people. Why do we want to be grumpy people anyways? I don't know, but I've been guilty of it. Why lose blessings from God over something that we need to forgive? Let me find it. Matthew 6, 14. And 15. Matthew 6, 15 says, and this is, can be confusing. I've studied this a long time. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like God's going to change his mind. Well, you were once one of my kids, but not anymore because you aren't going to be forgiving. That's not what it means. This forgiveness really has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with fellowship with God. God's forgiveness of sin is not based on our forgiving others. As Christians, forgiveness is based on realizing we have been forgiven. Personal fellowship with God is in view in these verses. It's not speaking about salvation. There's a difference. Huge difference. We cannot walk in fellowship with God if we refuse to forgive other people. Why are we going to settle for second best in our walk with God? Basically, what it comes down to is we're missing, going to miss out on blessings until we get to that point of forgiving that person. See, it's a great situation for us. I wrote down here, don't wonder why we have struggles in our walk with God is because we're trying to walk with God on our basis. It doesn't work. Finally, kingdom blessings. Our forgiveness can influence people around you. I read that story about that lady, the Holocaust. Her family was taken away. Her and her sister were the only two that survived. And they were treated horribly. They didn't say details, but they said those two were used, not just those two. Those folks were used for medical experiments by Hitler and his folks. I learned that a long time ago in history class. That's how badly they were treated. But this lady, it just spoke to me. You've seen the stories, it pop up on the news or whatever. And you see the stories, and it shows, I watched this guy was a drunk driver and killed her son, her only son. And when they did the sentencing, she and her husband were in the courtroom, which is sort of normal. I don't know if I could have done it. After he was convinced and he was sentenced to life in prison, or whatever it was, 50 years, same thing. And he was coming up the aisle and she stepped out and gave him a hug and said, I forgive you. Her one and only son killed needlessly a drunk driver. She gave him a hug and people could hear her say, I hate what you've done, but I forgive you. I forgive you and I will pray for you. Folks, that's what it's about. That doesn't just glibly saying, okay, I'll forgive you. Ooh, no, it doesn't work. It's got to come from the heart, the humble heart, a heart that doesn't have pride in it. We have to remember something, that we are salt and light in this world. And it's getting darker, in case you haven't noticed. I believe it's 2nd to this, I don't know if you're going to write this down or memorize it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you read the first part of that chapter. It talks about in the end days, things will grow darker. You read the description. I don't have time to. We are being shut down in many, many places. Don't kid yourselves. Satan hates us with a passion. He wants to put us down. He wants to destroy Christianity. We have people that represent us in government that hate Christian people. They hate what we do and what we stand for. Pay attention to what's going on. We're being shut down. Even on Facebook, conservative, not necessarily mean they're all Christian, conservative things are being blocked. Well, what do you think? How do you think that's going to end? Do you think it's going to stop next week? No way, Jose. No way. We have to keep in mind that we are salt and light. If we want this, the churches in America, the evangelical Bible-teaching churches, to change, we've got to practice what God has asked us to preach. How many times do I need to forgive them, Lord? 70 times 7. Don't keep track of wrongs. Yeah, you might get stepped on sometimes, but so what? If we can stand up for the cause of Christ and love people. Now, you think that that young man and his family weren't impacted by that lady saying, "I forgive you"? And the only way that that could happen is because she had the love of God in her heart. And if we want this world to calm down, if we can, in the meantime, we need to learn to forgive. As hard as it is. Let's become better. Let's not become bitter. All right, put that last part up. Yeah. To return evil for good is Satan's way. Okay? To return good for good is man's way. Do you think about that? To return good for evil is God's way. So if we are truly followers of Christ, we have to learn to forgive even when it's not comfortable. We celebrated Easter not that long ago, April. You know, think about that. When you see Christ died on a cross, he rose again. He made forgiveness possible. Our forgiveness from God and our forgiveness for and from other people. Is that a blessing? I hope so. You're so quiet today. You know, maybe we should get the mute. Kim, you want to come up and lead the thing? Okay. Awesome job. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your commands you give us and the direction you give us. There's so many things that we aren't able to do, Lord, on our own, and forgiveness is one of the big ones. But Lord, may we think about these things. May we think about the consequences if we don't. But Lord, some of the consequences are positive because it becomes a spiritual blessing for us. You bless us when we are obedient. You bless us when we can forgive people. We can forgive the unforgivable. Only by your grace, your mercy, your love, your strength, and your power. We thank you for all of those things. May we listen to the two verses that are left to be sung from How Great Thou Art. It will speak to our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Amen.